Hey, amen, church. Good morning to you. I'm so glad to be here. It is crazy how fast 15 years can go by, isn't it? I'm so glad to see Tyler and his dear family again after all of these years. I hate the circumstances of Pastor Jeremy's health being the reason why I have to be here today, but I am still nonetheless honored and glad to be able to be with you and to minister with you this morning. I want to introduce my family. I've got a picture here of them. This is a picture of our 180th church anniversary, 180-year-old church. That's an old church, isn't it? We have a couple of founding members, but honestly, they're not doing well at all. And so I've got my beautiful wife here and my awesome kid, Macy, here on the second row, and I'm so glad that they were able to come with us today. I feel like I need to explain the knee scooter and the boot. This is not just for optics this morning. Let me give you a little bit of background. I have a picture of what my ankle looked like last December. And what this is the only ankle I ever knew. But people kept telling me that's not how they are supposed to come from the manufacturer. And so I had a surgery in December to try to rebuild my ankle. And so here's kind of the x-ray now of what things look like post-surgery. Doesn't it kind of look like the doctor just dropped some hardware in there? Like, I'm not sure I was dealing with the best surgeon. But the part that really concerned me the most is what happened to my tibia? He just cut it off and left it there like it wasn't necessary. Like, I didn't go to medical school. I don't know, but I just feel like maybe we should have talked about that before the surgery, you know? Like, somewhere in the disclosures, there should have been, hey, I'm going to cut one of your bones off and leave it there. But I'm recovering from that surgery. I've had a couple of follow-up surgeries. And so normally when I speak, I move around quite a bit. I apologize. I have to stay pretty mobile, pretty stationary today. And I appreciate your understanding for that. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. We're going to look at a very familiar story in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, if you have your Bibles, if you have your Bible, if you have a device, if you have an incredible memory, however you want to get to Luke chapter 19 this morning, we're going to read a story that you have probably heard of before. It's about a man named Zacchaeus. We'll start reading in verse number 1 this morning, Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. The Bible says this: He, that's Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Isn't that a great way to be known? Rich. That's what I want people to think about when they think about me one day. David, rich. Verse number 3, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Remember that phrase. We'll come back to it later. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Aren't you glad that Jesus is not ashamed to be associated with sinners, but that he came to minister to them? And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Zacchaeus confesses his sins the same way I do. He said, Lord, if I have defrauded anyone. I mean, theoretically, nothing comes to mind at the moment, but just to cover my bases, could you forgive me? And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. And we'll conclude in verse number 10. The Bible says, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Can we pray together this morning? Heavenly Father, we come to you and we ask for your help. These dear people of Grace in Bloomington don't need to hear my voice this morning. They need to hear the Holy Spirit of God speaking to their hearts. and their lives in a unique and a personal way. And so, Father, I pray that you would illuminate the word of God into our spirits this morning, that you would speak to each of us. We continue to pray for Pastor Jeremy and Angela and their family, God, that you would continue the miracle of healing that you've already begun in his body. And we ask, Father, that your spirit would be very welcome here in this place this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about a very simple idea this morning. I want to talk to you about planting a tree for Jesus. And we're going to look at 3 points. We're going to look at a problem. We're going to look at the planting. And we're going to look at the purpose this morning as we plant a tree for Jesus. We start this morning with a problem, and we're introduced to a man named Zacchaeus. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus is not a saved man. He's not a follower of Jesus. He's not a believer in God, but he's interested. He's curious about who Jesus is, the Bible tells us. And so he wants to go and he wants to see for himself, who is this man Jesus? But the Bible tells us that he has a problem. And it feels like a silly problem. It feels like a really simple problem. But nonetheless, to Zacchaeus, it was a real problem. He was short. He was vertically challenged. He was not a very tall man. And so the Bible tells us that as the crowds of people are thronging about Jesus, Zacchaeus can't see who Jesus is. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. No man, the Bible says, can add any height to his stature. It wasn't Zacchaeus' fault that he couldn't see Jesus. It wasn't Zacchaeus' fault that he couldn't get a clear view of who Jesus was. There was a problem that was legitimately outside of his control. All of us, if we were to go around the room this morning, we could all talk about problems that are legitimately outside of our control. In my life, there were some medical issues that started early on in my life. When I was 10 days old, a tumor began to grow in the bones of my face. The tumor destroyed my oral cavity and what would have become my top teeth and left me with a non-congenital cleft palate. And I know what you're thinking. Now that you know that I had a tumor in my face, not that bad looking after all, right? But because of the damage that was done by the tumor, I had to go to speech therapy for years to learn how to talk and verbally communicate. In fact, even today, there's still some words or syllables that are difficult for me to put together. For example, if I'm arguing with my wife, sorry, is that how you say it? I'm still working on that one. Maybe I needed another year or two. When I was 14 months old, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. So in my immune system operates in reverse. Instead of protecting my body, it attacks my body, which I think is very rude, but that's a separate conversation. Over the years, the arthritis has taken its toll on my body. My wrists are fused. My ankles are not good. I've had both of my knees replaced, which, by the way, highly recommend. I would tell you, if you have some free time, maybe a long weekend, some vacation days to burn, I would just replace a joint, any joint. You're probably going to need to eventually, and you should be proactive about that, okay? I feel like people wait till the last minute, and I'm just telling you, you should do it now, okay? That's my unlicensed medical advice for the morning. When I was 8 years old, the arthritis went to my eyes, causing glaucoma and cataracts and high pressure. Eventually, as a teenager, I went completely blind in my right eye. The vision in my left eye is severely limited. Just keep that in mind if I ever compliment you or tell you you look nice. I don't really know. But see, all of those things, they're not problems that I created. They're just problems that happen in life. And if we went around the room, you could all share your problems and things that have happened in your life. But those are physical problems. You know, some people have legitimate spiritual problems. Spiritual problems that keep them from seeing Jesus and seeing who he is. People in other parts of the world don't have the accessibility to Jesus that we have in America. They have geographical problems. They have the legitimate issue that they don't have a church like Grace in their community. And even if they do have a Grace or a church that's within some reasonable distance, they don't have transportation to get there anyway. You have people in other parts of the world who legitimately would love to know what the Word of God says in the Bible, but there's a problem. They don't know how to read. They've never been educated. They've never had the opportunities that we have had in America to learn in that regard. You have people that have legitimate issues that they have grown up in a false religion. And so now spiritually they're blinded to the truth because all they've ever known is something that is another gospel that is not a gospel at all. And so you have people all around the world, just like Zacchaeus, who would probably be very interested to know who Jesus is, who would probably be very curious to get a clear glimpse of who this Savior is, who this person is that loves them unconditionally, who is this person that can forgive all of my sins, who is this person that knows the worst about me and still chooses to come down from heaven and give his life for my sake. Who is this Jesus? And they would love to know the answer to that question, but they've got legitimate problems that stop them from getting to Jesus. Zacchaeus wanted to know who Jesus was, but he had a problem. He was short. So there was a solution to that problem. There was a tree. And I want to talk about that tree for a moment this morning as we transition into our conversation about the planting this morning. Somebody had to plant that tree for Zacchaeus to climb. Before Zacchaeus needed that tree, somebody had to prepare the tool that Zacchaeus was going to use to get to Jesus one day. And that is exactly what we do with missions. With missions, what we do is we go all around the world and we plant trees. Sometimes those trees look like missionaries who start churches. Sometimes they look like schools that get started. Sometimes those trees look like medical facilities that treat people and their physical needs so that then there's an opportunity to talk to them about their spiritual needs. Here's the thing, as a child of God, I can't make anybody climb a tree. I can't force anybody to get saved. I can't make them believe in Jesus. But what I can do is make sure that when they're curious about Jesus, when they want to see Jesus, when there's something inside of their spirit that's pulling them towards Jesus, I can make sure there's a tree that's ready for them to climb. I can make sure that there's a church that's in their area. I can make sure that there is a missionary that I have helped and supported and given so that they can go to another part of the world and start planting trees for the gospel. There's three primary ways that we plant trees. We pray. And I want to encourage you this morning to pray for your missionaries, to pray for Saul to Paul Ministries, to pray for the people who have given their life for the sake of the gospel. There's another way, which is to go. You can go yourself, and you can go to other parts of the world or other parts of this country, and you can help to minister and to treat people and to help people see who Jesus really is. Maybe you have a skill or you have an ability or a background or an experience that would allow you to go to another part of the world, maybe for a brief period of time, and you could make an impact for the gospel. We have a lady in our church who was a school teacher for many years, and she retired. And one of our missionaries wanted to start a school in Zambia. So this lady, as a retired single woman, left America and went to Zambia for 3 months to help start their school. Maybe God would give you that type of opportunity to go and invest in missions. But one of the primary ways that you and I as Americans here in Bloomington, Indiana, and me over in Decatur, Illinois, one of the primary ways that we can invest in missions is we can give. We can support financially the people who are willing to go and give their lives for the sake of the gospel. And that's what you're going to be talking about and what you're going to be thinking about this week with your Faith Promise cards as you consider what seeds would God allow for me and my family to plant around the world through mission, through Faith Promise giving. What seeds would I be able to plant that would help somebody see Jesus? It's so hard sometimes because we give our money to missions and it's hard to see the end result sometimes. But the truth is, what you give to missions is a seed that is planted in the ground that becomes a laptop, a microphone, a building, a supply, something that is tangibly used for somebody to see who Jesus is. We plant trees all across the world so that people can see who Jesus really is. And finally, this morning, I want us to look not just at the planting, but the purpose. Why do we do it? Why does missions matter? Why does your pastor believe in missions so much that he's devoted a month of your calendar to it? I think the answer is in our text. If you go back to the beginning of our text, you see Zacchaeus was a sinner. Zacchaeus was somebody who was interested in God but didn't know who he was. And notice in verse number 3, the Bible says that he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But then fast forward in the story, and I want you to think about the moment that Jesus is walking by that sycamore tree, and Jesus looks up into that tree, and he doesn't say, "Hey, you there." He doesn't say, "What's your name?" He says, "Zacchaeus." Think about that moment. Zacchaeus says, "He knows me? He knows who I am? He knows my name?" And Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, you've got to come down because I'm here today for you." And notice where we ended in verse number 10 this morning. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Here's the point of the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus thought that he was looking for Jesus, but the reality of the story is that Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not the one pursuing Jesus. Jesus was pursuing Zacchaeus because Jesus is pursuing every single person and soul on this planet because he loves each of them, because he knows each of them, because he knows the name of each of them. And one day you and I give money to missions and that money goes overseas to other parts of the world and it becomes churches and it becomes vehicles and it becomes schools and it becomes trees and tools that people will climb to get a clear view of Jesus. And there will come a day where Jesus will come face to face with that person and they'll realize, "I'm not looking for him. He's looking for me. He loves me. He wants me. He desires me. He wants to have a relationship with me. He wants to come to my house." And all we do is just make sure there's a tree so Zacchaeus can see. I want you to know this morning that God is really good at pursuing people. He's really good at it. Some verses this morning I want you to see in 1 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 John chapter 2 says, and he is the propitiation, the substitution, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Every Zacchaeus out there, every sinner out there, every person who doesn't know the name of Jesus out there, God wants that person to be saved and to know who he is. Now, I have to tell you this morning, I'm not a missionary. There's a lot of reasons why I'm not a foreign missionary, but one of the primary reasons is I don't want to be. I know, not what you were expecting. But here's the thing, America's great. And I'm about to sound like a spoiled American, but there are other parts of the world not that great. So I'll just tell you, I'm not an international traveler. I know some people love it. They love to go to other parts of the world. I love to go to my house. But I married an international traveler. I married because that's how it always works, right? So I married someone who she wants to do two things. She wants to stay home tonight, or she wants to travel to the other side of the world. There's no in between. We can never just go to dinner. We have to go to Egypt. So recently, Kara drugged me against my will to Peru. We have friends there that are missionaries in Peru, and we have some pictures here of I was able to speak to the church, and Kara was able to speak to the ladies there in the group. And I know I'm about to sound like a spoiled American. I get it. I know I'm not doing myself any favors here, but I got to Peru and I looked at Kara and I said, everything here is worse than it is back home. And it's just little things. It's things that you're not even expecting. It's things like looking outside of the window at their utility lines and thinking to yourself, that's not up to code. That's like, what are we doing here, guys? Like, is this our A game here? Like, does anybody get to put up power lines in Peru? And then they took us to this market, and the missionary said, this is our nicest market that we have in this area. So we've got some pictures here. We went to this really nice market, and she asked for us to get a chicken, and she showed us the chicken. And I said, that's not chicken. That's not how I recognize chicken. There's no wrapper. And the driving there is like Mario Kart. I mean, there's no rules. Every time we drove anywhere, I would get so nauseous. I would have to take, is it Dramamine? Is that? I always have to make sure with Kara because I'll say the wrong drug. I'll be like, I had to take heroin. And she's like, Kara's like, that's not what you took, David. There's just a lot of drugs these days. I don't know. So I had to take Dramamine every time we drove anywhere. And if cars literally are just bumping into each other and nobody's stopping, nobody's like filing police reports, okay? If you're in an accident in Peru, you just get out of the car, you yell at the person for a little while, and then everyone goes about their day. It's anarchy, okay? On the final day that we were there, the missionary brought us up on top of this mountain. It oversees all of Lima. There's 12 million people in Lima, Peru. And Josh said, there's so many people here that need to know about Jesus. Aren't you glad that there's people who are willing to leave the comforts that we have in this country and go to other parts of the world because they believe with all their heart that they're called to tell people about Jesus. And what a privilege it is to support those people. I want to introduce you to a couple this morning, Keith and Teresa Baker. Keith and Teresa are my in-laws. They're my wife's parents. That's how in-laws work. Keith and Teresa raised their children, and they left from the mission field when they were 58. They didn't go to London. They didn't go to a developed part of the world. At 58 years old, they went to Haiti, one of the most dangerous countries in the world. Keith has been kidnapped and held for ransom. He's been threatened with his life many, many times. They're in their 70s now. They finally had to leave Haiti because the U.S. government told them they had to. They're in Belize now. You think they'd retire, right? You think they would come home to their grandchildren. But Keith and Teresa believe with all their heart that they are called to give the gospel to people who don't know about Jesus. So they spend all their time trying to find Zacchaeus and introduce him to Jesus. And I think about the chance that I have to support and minister these spiritual heroes who give their lives away for the gospel. And I think all I have to do is plant a tree. All I have to do is plant a seed. There's a purpose behind world missions. There's a verse that I think sums up this idea very easily. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says this: I have planted, Apollos watered, and God gives the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. So it's not the planter or the waterer that gets anybody saved. It's only Jesus. Now he that planteth and watereth are one, and everyone shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Do you see what Jesus says there? He says the planter and the waterer are one. The giver and the goer work as a team, and they'll both be rewarded. In this mission of the gospel, as I look at the time this morning, I want to conclude with just one story. There was a time in my life where I spiritually was not doing well. My first wife had just passed away of cancer. I was 24. She was 24. I had a 17-month-old daughter. I had no idea how to be a dad. 6 weeks later, one of my best friends died. I went to his funeral in North Carolina, and as I was driving home, you know those points in your life where you just wonder, what am I doing here anymore? And I wasn't to the point that I would have actively hurt myself. I was just at the point where if something would have happened, I was driving down the road at night. I was going 80, I was going somewhere between 70 and 100 miles an hour. It doesn't matter. The details are unimportant. I was driving down the road. It was dark, and I hit a deer. The deer ripped off the windshield and the hood of my car, destroyed the car. I have no idea what happened, but somehow I ended up at the side of the road. And I looked around. There's glass everywhere, metal everywhere, and I was fine. Not a scratch. And I'm not proud to tell you this. This whole sermon's been David confessing, right? I'm not proud to tell you this, but there was a brief moment where I thought to myself, man, that was my chance. And more clearly than I've ever heard God's Spirit before or since that moment, God's Spirit spoke to my heart and said, David, I'm not done with you yet. In other words, there's still a purpose. And I want you to know this morning that you have a purpose. You probably have a lot of purposes this morning. But one of those purposes is to help get the gospel to the whole world. Our pianist is going to come and play for just a moment, and we'll have someone that's going to come and sing a song for us. And as that's happening, I just want you to take a moment in your heart and with the Lord, and I just want you to ask the Lord, what could I do to plant a tree for you, Jesus? You know the significance and the symbolism of planting a tree? We don't plant a tree because we want to enjoy it tomorrow, right? You plant a tree because you're preparing for the future. Sometimes when someone passes away, we'll plant a tree in their memoriam. What are we doing? We're saying this tree is going to live on. And this month at your church, as you prioritize and you emphasize world missions, all your pastor is doing is giving you a chance to plant some trees that are going to live on far longer than any of us will. Just a chance to plant some seeds in the ground that are going to grow up, and they're going to become sycamore trees that a sinner named Zacchaeus is going to climb up, and he's going to think to himself, I want to know who Jesus is. And he's going to find out that day that Jesus already knows who he is, and he's coming to his house. And he's bringing salvation. We plant the missionary waters. God gives the increase. Can we pray together this morning? Jesus, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that you are pursuing us, that you are pursuing every one of us, and that you are pursuing every sinner in this world who you long and desire be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.